Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Clive Urquhart.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. All right, let's just pray, shall we? Father, we thank you for what you're doing. Thank you that you're drawing us deeper into who you are. Thank you that you're revealing more of who you are. Father, we thank you that your word is light. And your word reveals who you are. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. Your Holy Spirit lights up the word and reveals who you are, Jesus. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are the Spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that we might know Jesus better. That you reveal more and more of who he is. I thank you that you answer the cry of our hearts. That you answer the longing of our hearts. Father, your word says that if we draw near to you, you draw near to us. Father, we thank you that whenever we respond to you, whenever we seek you, as we live in our lives, you are more than ready at any time to meet with us, reveal who you are, show us more of who you are. I thank you for your amazing, unfailing love. That you continue to treat us in a way that in the natural we just don't deserve. That when you hung on the cross, you had every one of us in your heart and your mind at that moment. That your word says that you called us and chose us before the creation of the world. You chose us. You already picked us out. You already called us by name before anything was even created. And your heart was for us to know you, to be at one with you, to be like you. And even though sin separated us from you, when Adam and Eve did their own thing, they acted independently from you. We thank you that you already had a plan in mind. You already had a plan that you were going to put into place to make sure that we as people had the opportunity to be restored back to you. And I thank you for the power of the cross, the expression of your justice dealing with sin and death and hell. But your love that is unfailing to pay the ultimate price. You would take every thing that we deserve on yourself so that we could come to you to be forgiven. To be made right with you, to be made clean, as it were, to be made acceptable to you, to be made one with you, to be made children of yours, to become sons of God, to be heirs with Christ, to be seated at your right hand with Jesus as a son and as an heir. How amazing are you, Father? Father, I thank you, you never want any one of us, no matter how long we've known you, whether a few days or for many, many years, you never want us, Father, to take you for granted. You never want us just to tip our hats to you or just give a wink to you and say, thanks, Jesus, but you want us to live in awe of who you are, in amazement, in gratitude, in thankfulness, in the fear, the spirit of the fear of the Lord, in a reverence of who you are, realizing you're the mighty one, you're the majestic one, you're the awesome one, you're the powerful one, you're the holy one, you're the incredible one, you're enthroned in splendor, you're crowned in glory, you are just beyond compare, there's no words that can describe who you are, but yet you came down to earth, you came down to us, as you describe in the Bible, we're like a piece of dust compared to who you are, but yet, you know every one of us. You know every detail about our lives. You know us better than we know ourselves. And you came from the glory, from heaven. You came from a perfect place. And you came down to the stench of the earth. You could smell sin. You could smell the rebellion. You could smell the independence. You could smell the self-righteousness that we have as mankind, saying that we don't need God. We've got our own minds, our own powers, our own skills. We don't need God, He's dead. Father, into that context you came. Not to judge and condemn the world, but to love, to save, to reveal who the Father is, to come with mercy. To say, I'm not going to treat you as you deserve, but I'm going to come with my love. And my love is going to cause you to turn to me as I express it in action, hanging on a cross. Even though at that moment it looked like you were defeated, it looked like hell was laughing. So now we've got him. We've beaten him. We've got him on that cross. But yet in what looked like loss and negativity, you were hanging there in victory. That everything, sin, death, hell, sickness, everything, separation that could have been thrown at us was thrown on you, lashed on you, crowned on you with those thorns, pierced with you with a sword, spat on you and beaten, ripped your beard out, all the things that happened on the way to the cross, taking our punishment. And then when you hung there, you cried out in victory and said, "It's finished." In the context of saying, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." You didn't take offense. You didn't get upset. You didn't say, "Because of the way they're treating me, I'm going to reject them." You still poured out your mercy and your love hanging there. With nails piercing your hands and through your feet. In agony on the cross. Completely unrecognizable. A mess in the natural eye. Disfigured beyond description. You hung there, Father, through your Son, in the power of your Holy Spirit. That all might go free. That everyone might be saved. Father, would you give us your perspective on life? Your perspective on life, not ours, with a bit of God in there somewhere. But your perspective on life, what it really means to live a new life in you. What it really means to live a redeemed life, one that you've taken out of separation and death and destruction and guilt and shame and pain and hurt and sickness, and one that you've brought into forgiveness and freedom and health and life and hope and destiny and purpose and calling and everything that it means to be a child of yours, to live in you, to be free from all the rubbish that seeks to separate us from you. Father, give us your perspective. Holy Spirit, would you find every one of our lives so open in these days, Father, as you've been saying, I want you to go deeper with me. You want us to respond to you. There's so much more that you have for us in you and everything you want to do through us, Father. I thank you. There's so much more, so much more, so much more. Father, open the eyes of our hearts. Let us see you. Let us see your perspective. Let us see how you see things so that we live in a way that is not just natural with a bit of supernatural, but we live this supernatural life that you have given us, that you have put inside of us, that we live in that more fully. Father, we praise your name. We exalt your name. You are worthy, Father. You are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy of every breath that we could breathe. You are worthy of every life in this room. Father, you are worthy of every effort we could ever give you. You're more than that. More than that. Jesus, thank you for saving us out of whatever we used to be into. Just thank him. You know what your life was like before you knew him. Just thank him for saving you out of whatever it was like. And the chalk and cheese difference that it is now. The black to white. The trapped to free. From sickness to health. From death to life. From darkness to light. From shame to liberated. From no purpose to a sense of destiny and calling and why I'm alive on earth. I'm on earth to know him. Now life makes sense from black and white to technicolor. From despair to joy. From the ashes of what life could have been like and was like to praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we praise you. We thank you. You're worthy. You're mighty. You're glorious. You're wonderful. Thank you, Jesus. You're beyond compare. You're beyond compare. Let's just stand for a minute. Let's just stand for a minute. Just praise him. Just exalt him. Just lift your hands. Praise him. Exalt him this morning. Give him praise for who he is. For who he is. Just for who he is. Just for who he is. Just for what he's done. Just for who he is. He's done what he's done because of who he is. He's done what he's done because of who he is. He's done what he's done because of who he is. Everything he does is because of who he is. Everything flows because of who he is. Oh, praise your name. Praise your name. Praise your name, Jesus. Praise your name. 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 Oh, praise your name. Praise your name. Praise your name. Praise your name. Oh, praise your name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. You're wonderful. You're mighty. You're glorious. You're worthy of all praise. You're worthy of all honor. You're worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. You're worthy of every praise we could ever give. You're worthy of all adoration that we could ever express. You're worthy of every fiber of our being. You're worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy. You're the glorious one. You're the magnificent one. You're the powerful one. You're the awesome one. You're the great I am. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Come on, church, let's praise him this morning. Let's give him thanks. Let's glorify him. Just let the whole of your being resound with praise, resound with thanksgiving, resound with glory and honor for his name. He is worthy. 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 You are worthy, Father. You are worthy. You are worthy. Father, we want to live in awe of you. Not just in a moment, in a meeting, we want to live in awe of you. With the spirit of the fear of the Lord on our lives, that reverence, that awe of who you are, that reverence and awe of who you are, just in awe of you, that you are God, that you are God. And you're not to be messed with. But yet at the same time, your Father, your intimate, personal. Yet you're glorious and magnificent and powerful and mighty. You're all those things all at once. A total dichotomy to the mind, but it makes total sense because of who you are. Praise your name. 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 You're worthy. You're glorious. You're King. You're mighty. You're so awesome, so great, so amazing. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank him. Just thank him for his unfailing love. Just thank him for his unfailing love. His love never, ever fails. It can't, because he is love. And God says that he cannot fail because his love never fails. And if his nature is love, he will never, ever fail. He cannot fail. It's impossible for God to fail. There is nothing that he does in our lives and speaks over our lives that will not come to fullness, to fruitfulness, because everything that he says and he does always comes to the fullness, the fruition of what he wants to do. It's impossible for God to fail. Impossible. 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 And he puts his life on the inside of us. The impossible one puts his impossible life on the inside of us. In the natural, it's impossible, but for him, it's possible. He puts his life on the inside of us. And he says, now you can live an impossible life because you have the one who does the impossible on the inside of you. Now you can live the impossible life that I've given you. You can live clean. You can live holy. You can live righteous. You can live as an overcomer. You can live made worthy. You can live looking up to who he is, not looking down because you think there's still a cloud over your life. He's put his life on the inside of you so you can live the impossible that Jesus lived when he was on the earth. He lived an impossible life. He showed us how to do it. And then he says, I'm not asking you to do it in your own strength. I'm going to leave you with my Holy Spirit. And now Holy Spirit, he's going to clothe you with power. And he's going to enable you to be who I've called you to be. He's going to enable you to be like me. He's going to enable you to be like Christ. He's going to enable you to be Christ-like. He's going to enable you to walk like he did, talk like he did, love like he did, serve like he did. You have him on the inside of you. We have him on the inside. He's not called us to live the impossible life. But the connection between us living it and not living it is your will. And your will is connected to your heart. And your heart is in relationship with him. Because he's given you a new heart. He's taken the old stony one out. And he gave us a new heart. And that new heart is his heart. It's his life. It's at the heart of you now is his life. How much you connect with him and live in the good of that is down to how much you decide you want to. It's all down to how much you want to. And you'll live in that as much as you want to. You draw near to him, he will draw near to you. The closer you want to go, the closer he'll get to you. The closer you want to be, the more he'll completely infuse you. The more you go after him, the more he's going to completely overtake you. It's down to you and me to respond to him, not in self-effort, not trying to get somewhere with God, but simply saying, God, I'm yours. I'm yours. I don't belong to myself. I belong to you and you alone. And God, I want to know you. I want to walk with you. I want you to reveal more of who you are. I choose to guard my heart from the things of life that can so easily just draw me away without even realizing it. The subtleties of life. The obvious things are obvious when they try and catch you out, but it's the subtleties that draw you away. Those little things here and there that then add up. And before you realize it, oh, I'm a few degrees off here. Hang on. And we're going deeper because we want to know him. We're going deeper because we want him to be Lord of our lives in every way. You know, the deeper that you go, the more joyful your life. The deeper you go, the more freedom there is. Yes. The deeper you go, I don't know, just a desire grows in you. More and more and more for him, to know him, to know him, to know him. Doesn't just happen in a moment. God, would you lay hands on me through somebody and just would you, boom, do all that in 30 seconds and I won't have to kind of engage my heart and will. Just do it and then it'll be, hallelujah, I'm on fire. But how does a fire start? One little spark. And then it begins to catch on. Where the ground is dry, the drier the ground, the faster the fire spreads. How do you keep your heart? How do you keep your life like dry ground? Constantly plug in with him, relationship with him, short accounts. Something goes off on your mind. Father, I ask you to forgive me right now. Just surrender, submit that, bring it under your lordship. Scenario comes up. Father, I don't want to act and react to that and get annoyed. Father, I thank you for your heart right now. It's the secret place. It's like, God, I want to get up and be with you. Just want to be in your presence. Just want to be with you. And you're just there with him saying, Father, I don't want to go anywhere, get anywhere. Just want to be with you. And when you do that, he'll take you somewhere. And you find you're cultivating his presence in your life. You're finding you're cultivating just him in your life afresh. And as we've been reading through Matthew to help us, you're just reading the word. He begins to speak and there's just stuff he says. You begin to jot things down. And as you jot things down, he reveals more. He's talking and you find, God, you're overwhelming me, God. And you find sometimes you well up a little bit because you just realize he's never going to give up on you. His love is unfailing. He's relentless in his pursuit after us. And you're amazed at how amazing. Sometimes he might say, hang on a minute, there's an attitude there. I just want to bring that to your attention. Let's work on that. Let's deal with that, shall we? You know, and let's move that out the way and get the root out and let's move on so that you live in more freedom. More in the fullness of who I am. There's that part as well. Why? Because he's a good father. Jesus, we thank you. We praise your name. You're so amazing, so awesome, so wonderful. Thank you, Jesus. 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 He's called us to be a house of prayer for all nations. You might say, well, I'm not very good at prayer. That's okay. The Holy Spirit is amazing at praying. He's called us to be a people of the Word. You say, well, I don't really know the Word. I'm not very good at reading the Word. Well, the Holy Spirit is brilliant at reading the Word and revealing who Jesus is in the Word. He's called us to be a people that are light to the world. And you say, well, I'm not very good at witnessing and sharing my testimony. The Holy Spirit is brilliant at enabling us to share our faith, be a light and witness, whatever that might look like. Because everything that Jesus has done in our lives is done by the power of the Holy Spirit. Everything that he wants to do through our lives is done in the power of the Holy Spirit. So we can't say to the Lord, well, God, I'm sorry, I can't do that. And he's like, yeah, I know. That's why I put my Holy Spirit in you. I knew that before you were around. So I did work that one out. So knowing that I was going to get you to do some things that are impossible, I've already kind of sorted that out before and say, well, Holy Spirit, when Jesus has gone through the cross, he's come back to me, we're going to send you down there because it'll be your turn to be on the earth. But when you go down to the earth, you're going to be there for the rest of time. Holy Spirit was like, okay, cool, I don't mind. I'm ready to go. And Jesus said, the same Spirit that was in me while we were on earth, it's now going to be in you. See, so that's why God says you can do the impossible. You can see the impossible because the Holy Spirit is the one in you that does those things in us and through us. He's called us to, the Christian life is a supernatural life. At the beginning of Matthew in chapter 1, you can sit down if you want, if you're not already. I might not look here, I might keep my eyes shut, but this depends what's going on. At the beginning of Matthew in chapter 1, there's the genealogy right at the beginning. And it's the lineage of Jesus, the natural lineage. But then once Jesus is born, that natural line on one level finishes and a supernatural one starts. So we're all heirs with Jesus, but we're not grandchildren, great-grandchildren. We are generations down the line in the natural, but we're all sons of God because of the supernatural birth of Jesus. His birth was supernatural. Everything around his birth was supernatural. The prophecies about his life all the way through the Old Testament. God speaking to Mary, saying the Holy Spirit will come upon you and you'll be with child. Supernatural. He appears to the angels, appears to the shepherds. Supernatural. The star in the sky for the wise men to follow. Supernatural. Everything around his life was supernatural. After he was born, God gives his dad, not his natural dad, but he gives Joseph some dreams to keep away from here, go to there. Supernatural. Everything happened in his life was supernatural. He was led. And when we get born again, it's totally supernatural. Everything leading up to that point when God was working in your heart was supernatural. He was beginning to reveal who he was, show you who he is. You're beginning to get this, I think God's real. I think there's something about this God. My friend or my family member was telling me about, I want to give my life to Jesus. What was going on? Supernatural. When you came to God and you said, Father, forgive me for this and this and this and this. When you were forgiven, that was supernatural. When you said, God, I need to give you my life and I need you to come into my life, supernatural. When you stood there and you said, God, I need you to fill me with your Holy Spirit, he came upon you, supernatural. Everything that God does in your life is supernatural. It's done by the Holy Spirit. Then he calls you to live like Christ. But Jesus says, you can't do it without my Spirit. So I put my Spirit in you to enable you to be Christ-like, to live like Christ. Supernatural. He's called us to live a life that is impossible. And so he says, I put my Spirit in you. Jesus said to the first few disciples, come follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. He invites them to live a supernatural life. He says, come follow me. The word come there actually means to come out of where you are into something new, to be saved. He says follow. That means to walk with, to keep in step with and be in line with. It was like a command, the words that he used. It was like, come follow, I need an answer now. It wasn't have a think about it, have a pray about it and let me know in a few weeks' time, send me an email. It was, hey guys, come follow me, but I need an answer now, yes or no. And they were like, wow, okay, what do? They dropped their nets and began to follow him. Then he said, I'm going to make you. The word make there is to forge, to shape. It's like this street is called Foundry Lane. And a foundry is a place where a process takes place to produce castings for molten metal. So, you know, it's a place of heat. It's a place of shaping and forming and forging something for a specific purpose. And the word there, make, actually means for a holy purpose. So when he said to these guys, come follow me and I'll make you fishers of men, when you unearth what that word make there means, it actually means for a holy purpose. The word there is to ordain. So he says, come follow me and I'm going to ordain you for something holy. That's pretty awesome. So it wasn't just that he said to these guys on that day by the Sea of Galilee, the lake there, hey lads, got a bit of an adventure, do you fancy coming or not? And they went, how much? What's in it for us? He basically said, hey guys, come out of where you are into something new and you need to keep in step with me and walk with me because I'm ordaining you. I'm giving you a holy purpose and it's going to affect people's life, fishes of men. It's going to be, not that it means fruitful, but it means you're going to make an impact people's lives. They didn't know what they were letting themselves in for. But that's the life of faith, isn't it? But what did Jesus do? This is a quick flick through Matthew. He lived and demonstrated what it means to live as a believer. He demonstrated a supernatural life. He demonstrated what it was like to love people that nobody else wanted to love, to forgive in a moment where you could take offense or somebody's having a go at you. He showed how to deal with the enemy, the devil, in our lives. The enemy comes at us. What did Jesus do? He holds the word up and he says, all right, enough and no further, because this actually is what the Bible says. This is who I am, according to the word. So he shows us how to overcome the enemy. He shows us how to heal the sick. He showed us how to serve people. He showed us how to be who he's called us to be. And we look at that life, a surrendered, submitted life. We look at that and we're like, oh, I couldn't live like Jesus did. But that's like saying to God, God, you're asking me to do something that's impossible. That's ridiculous. And he says, I know it is. It's absolutely stupid. It's ridiculous. But I give you my Holy Spirit to enable you to live the life that I've called you to. So what does that boil down to? One, knowing God. Two, trust in him. What is he doing at the moment through the book of Matthew, through the month of January, of the praying and the fasting? Is go deeper. I want you to know me. 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 I want your lives to be rooted in me, rooted in my word. The storms of life are going on out there. Stuff is happening in your friends and family, people you know, in all different environments and the wider part of society. And we need to be rooted in him. When the storms of life and in the nations are increasing and going on, which they will, the church, believers are standing rooted because their lives are on the rock. We know who God is. We know what his word says. We stand in the face of storms and negativity and everything going on out there because we know him and he knows us. So he demonstrated his life. And then the last thing he said at the end of Matthew chapter 28, which is today, he says, you know, meet me up in Galilee and I'm going to see you there, meet you there. And they go up there and they come to him. They begin to worship him. And he says, hey, guys, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So here's your commission. Now it's time for you guys. You're going to begin to move forward in the days and years ahead. I'm not going to be here. And so go, make disciples. Everything that I've shown you, everything that you've seen, what I've demonstrated to you, everything I've taught you, everything that you know is true, that you're convinced and convicted about, everything that you know. Now go and make disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Teach them to obey everything I've taught you, everything you've seen, everything you've learned. Just go in my name. Do those things. And I'm going to be with you. Maybe not me physically now, but I'm going to send my spirit. So I'm going to be with you to the very end of the age. So you never need to say, God, I can't do this, because he said, it's okay. I'm right in you and with you to enable you. But what does he say then? He says, right, here's your commission. But then he says, but wait for one thing. Wait to be clothed with power from on high. Now, many of us, we're already saved. We know God. We've been filled with the Holy Spirit. So we're not waiting to be clothed from on high with power, because we have been already. And as we seek God, you know, through January, and it doesn't finish, the fasting might finish today, but the prayer doesn't. So although we've had 28 days of prayer and fasting, the fasting bit might finish, but the prayer is going to continue. Maybe God's done something in you or in your life or whatever, where there's an element of fasting that's not just been, I'm going to miss one meal a day, or I'm not going to watch TV, or I'm not going to do Facebook, or I'm not going to do some form of media. There might be something that God's done in you that you live fasted in a different way now. Because there's been a change in your life, my life, our lives in some way, where it's like, well, I'm not just going to finish the prayer and fasting now, and I'm going to then go back to what I was like on the 3rd of January before we started on the 4th. But maybe there's something going on in you. And as we go through February and we go through the book of Acts, and we're going to look at one chapter a day there, and everybody still journals and soaps, scripture, observation, application, prayer. We still want to go deeper with God to go further. Tomorrow, our 24/7 prayer begins. It starts tonight at midnight, and praying every hour through for 7 days through the whole week for what God's going to do in February. So it's not just 24/7 prayer now for the rest of the year. It's praying, handing on the baton from 1 hour to the next to somebody else in the church somewhere, in one of the congregations, however many people there might be in any given hour, one or many, a group or an individual, doesn't matter. But we're passing on the baton so that in the spirit we're praying, we're interceding, we're declaring, we're speaking. We want a greater breakthrough in February than we've had in January. God signed us up. When you gave your life to the Lord, you signed up that day to His kingdom purposes. And He's like, right, if you really mean it, I'm going to take you on a journey. So come on, let's go. It's going to take everybody to see what God wants to see happen. Every person in this room is a member of the body. You have a part to play. You might be a finger, you might be a heart, you might be a muscle, you might be a bone, you might be a joint, you might be a ligament. I don't know what you are. It doesn't matter in that sense. You don't say, well, what am I? Am I this, that, or the other? You know, just know I'm part of this thing. And prayer might not be my thing, but Holy Spirit, thank you. You can enable me to pray. And you can enable me to stand in the gap with everybody else to see what you want to do in and through our lives in February. Then in March, first week of March, we're going to hit the prayer room again. It's like, come on, there's more God wants to do in March. There's more He wants to do in April. It's like God saying, I want you to measure. I want you to hear and see what I'm doing and hear stories of what I'm doing. So we don't just get to December and say, what was 2016 all about? But actually, we see God work and move in our lives, in other lives, in things with breakthroughs every month, every month, every month. You know, you don't wait for a breakthrough. Breakthroughs don't happen by waiting. Breakthroughs happen by stepping into what God says. When you step into what God says and you cooperate with what He says, because what He says is what He's doing. And when He says something and we step into that, then we step into what He is doing. When we step into what He is doing, His grace comes on us to do what He is saying that He wants to do. So that we then are part of what He's not just saying, but also doing and outworking through who we are as a people. So I want to encourage you all, just get involved in the prayer. Please don't say, I'm not any good at praying. If you can't pray in tongues, come up at the end of the meeting and we'll lay hands on you. We'll get you released in tongues, right? Even if you just pray in tongues for an hour and you got no idea what to pray, the Holy Spirit is going to have a great time praying in you and through you. And I'll tell you what, you begin to pray in tongues. You think, I don't know what to pray. I pray in tongues a bit. We'll just pray in tongues and probably give you 10, 15 minutes and the Holy Spirit's going to show you what to pray for. He will. So you might, I'm rubbish at prayer, fine. Can you pray in tongues? Great. You're going to have a really good time then in that hour. Just praying. I've never prayed in tongues for more than 5 minutes. Now it's time to go beyond that then. Because the Holy Spirit in you can pray more than 5 minutes. He can pray through you. Your spirit man gets strengthened. Your spirit man gets energized. You find it's like, whoa, this is light. That wasn't what I was expecting. It's not dry and boring. But the Holy Spirit rises up. Why? Because you're developing the muscle of your spirit as you pray. And God will begin to speak to you. Because as you pray in the spirit, you're getting in tune with Him. You're getting in tune with the spirit, getting in sync with what He's doing and saying. And then you find you're hearing from God. Then you find you're praying things out. Whoa, this is exciting. And at the end of that hour, you say, wow, I never have thought of that at the beginning. And the Holy Spirit goes, exactly. That's why I want you to come aside in this moment, because you don't know what to pray. But in Romans, it talks about when we don't know what to pray, the Spirit knows how to pray, prays on our behalf, and He lets us know what we're praying and what's going on. So God's saying, go and make disciples. But the starting point is prayer. So we've been doing a bit more of that in January. Hopefully, everybody's been doing this on your own, getting into Matthew. The person that will benefit from doing it is you. You'll benefit. It's, you know, I could say, come on, let's do it. And you're like, yeah, He wants us to do this and He wants us to do that. It's for your benefit. And other people will benefit as a result of it. Second thing, well, we'll come to the second thing in a minute, but just pray. You might find you actually become a person of prayer. Yeah. Oh, my word.
Woo.
I didn't think I could be that kind of person. Well, the Holy Spirit can make you that kind of person. So, Paul the Apostle, in terms of living out his faith, he said, not I, but Christ, right? So if the Great Commission is go and make disciples, how do you do that? Do you want to know how to make a disciple in about 3 minutes? Is that all right? We won't do a 12-week session, you know, all this. We'll do it in 3 minutes, okay? What did Jesus say? Come, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men, right? So he says, follow me, keep in step with me, keep in sync with me, walk with me. And in that walking, I'll make you, I'll fashion you, I'll forge you, I'll work in you, I'll do stuff in you. And then, you know, you're going to affect people's lives. So what does that look like then? It means to live like Christ. Well, I can't do that. Well, the Holy Spirit can in you, right? And as you surrender and submit each step of the way, each moment, saying, Father, thank you that today you want me to live like Christ. I can't do that, but I thank you, Holy Spirit, in me today, you can enable me to live like Christ. How many of you read the Word? Half of you. Well, man, we need some work on this church, right? You know, with two hands in the air. If you read the Word, and what God's been encouraged with Matthew is to read the Word and let him speak to us. And you might have underlined some things you never have before, or marked some things, or some thoughts that come to you, start to jot things down, or you find yourself flicking to other scriptures in the Bible. And what maybe would have been a quick 5-minute Bible reading in the morning before you go to work, it's now become a, man, I want to get this time with God because he's talking, he's speaking, there's stuff going on. I want to hear more of what he wants to say in my life. How many of you are finding that? Not enough of you, right? So we still got to go. There's still more that God wants to do. Still more that God wants to do. Still more that God wants to do. Still more. God will never do anything in your life without your will being engaged with him. It's impossible. He'll never override you. He might come upon you and reveal something about himself, but that's normally because you've started to engage with him. He'll never override your will. You work with your will with him, and he will. You just open your heart a little bit like that, and he'll come in like a flood, and he'll do stuff in your life. How many of you read the Word? If you read the Word and you know how to hear God, you can just sit somebody, which is what I do, I just read the Bible and the Holy Spirit starts to talk to me. You can help somebody. How many of you know how to pray? Well, if you know how to pray, if you know how to hear from God and then, well, Father, I thank you that your Word says this, so I thank you that's what you say about myself. This is what you want to do in this situation, that's what the Bible says, so I speak that into this situation. I command this thing to change. It's pretty simple. If you can do that, you can show somebody else. If you know how to worship, we all, when we come in here, you've got a choice when you come into a meeting of some sort. You can either stand there and say, I'm going to wait until this is so revved up, it makes me feel like worshiping. Or you can come in saying, I don't care what anybody else is doing today. I'm going to get my hands in the air, exalt him for who he is. Whether it's loud, whether it's quiet, whether it's too stuffy in here, which made it a little bit this morning. But anyway, I stopped singing at one point, just had my hands in the air. I'm going, sweating, and it's like, because it, you know, all of that. So you just add that bit, right, in sweating. And basically, it's just, if you're investing in somebody's life, man, it sharpens you up. If you know other people are looking at your life, that helps you massively. So if you're going to disciple somebody, what are you saying to them? Serve like me. Well, I don't know if I do any serving around here. Well, maybe that's why you're not discipling anybody. Maybe that's why somebody's life's not being impacted. Get involved and serve. Just serve. So we need to be able to say to people, serve like me. If you're married, blokes, we should be able to say to one another, be a husband like me. See how I treat my wife, how I speak about her. Come round for dinner, come and hang out, get into my life and see how I am with a wife. If you're the other way around, if your wife... say to other ladies, hey, see how I'm a wife to my husband. Come around my house, let's hang out. See how I speak about my husband. If you're a parent, we should be able to say to some, see how I treat my kids and what I do with them. Stewarding, not stewarding on a Sunday or looking after the, but just finances, stewardship, stewarding what we have. We should be able to say to people, look at the way I do my finances. Can I help you with that? It's just stuff. This is how we, when pressure's on, when I face the pressure, this is how I handle it. This is what I do. You can show somebody how you do that. See, what all we're talking about is not, well, I don't know the Bible enough to make a disciple. I don't know enough scriptures. I don't know where to take people. Initially, people, I don't want to use this phrase, people catch more than they're taught. It's both and. People catch stuff from what they see, but they also need to be taught. It's the two together, caught and taught. Jesus demonstrated and taught the people. Sometimes he taught them, then demonstrated, but he had the two hand in hand. You might not know where to go all the time for the different scriptures in the Bible, but how you live can be infectious. People can see how you live, and they're like, "Man, I want to be like that. I want to be like." And that's what making it. That's what Jesus did. That's all he said. Come, follow me, and in that process, something's going to happen in you, and then you're going to become fruitful. You're going to affect people's lives. But just come with me. Come with me. Come with me. That is the Christian life that we've just described. If nobody's coming with us, before everybody leaves the church and goes and joins another one, if nobody's coming with us, are we living the Christian life? Wow. Because the Great Commission is go make disciples. Go and invest in somebody else's life. Go and reach out. You might say, well, I don't know who. Well, starting tonight at midnight, great place to start. God, I want to get in the prayer room. If you need to do more in life, God, would you do it while I'm here praying? Would you work in me as much as whatever's going to go on? But Father, would you, I don't know how to save somebody. God, would you work in my heart and life, and would you begin to do something? We can teach you some tricks. We can teach you some ways of sharing your faith and the gospel and all of that kind of stuff, which we all probably need to be more effective in that. So there's that, which we can look at some of that, but there's also what flows out of your life. That's what flows out of your life. Yes, it's good to know. We need to know. Well, how do you share testimony in words that people can understand and explain what God's done in your life and who he is and all of that? But it comes from something that is alive on the inside. So something's caught as much as something that's spoken. I reckon God's energized for 2016, don't you? Yes. I reckon he's like, come on, guys, it's time. It's time for so much more. Time for so much more. And he's saying, come on, go deeper. So February, we're going to go deeper so we go further. There's stuff that will happen in your life this week. If you get into the book of Acts, over the next few days, something's going to happen in you. Because in chapter 2, they get baptized in the Holy Spirit. Well, I don't know, you need a fresh baptism. We could say, let's come to the front, tonk, 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 tonk. But I think there's something God wants to do in all of our lives more, getting plugged in with God personally so that we don't rely on the corporate. So that if we're plugging in with God more personally, when we then come together, what will that be like? What's going to happen? So it's not the other way around. I need to plug into the body to get some life. No, there's some life because you're drawing from the roots. And then when the body comes together, boom, stuff happens. God's there. Things get released because there's already something happening in every one of our lives. It's like God saying, come on, guys, it's time to grow, mature. It's time to become this tree that I've called you to be. This oak tree is part of this orchard that is branching out. That's not just got a few buds and a bit of blossom and a little bit of fruit here that begins to become really fruitful and weighs heavy in fruit so that others can come and eat of that fruit and then get saved into this tree, this oak tree called Kingdom Faith, like one of many that is in this area, this nation around the world. Many oak trees that God's raising up as his church all over the place. And we want to make sure we're the oak tree that God has called us to be. Yes. That the life flow of who he is flowing like nothing else we've known before. You could say about that 3 minutes is a bit longer, but anyway, it's intertwined with some other things. I'm just going to close. Worship like me. So yes, worship like me. Do you know what I mean? I don't mean just in a meeting, but that's helpful. You might say, well, I'm not a worship leader. You are. Doesn't matter where you're sitting, what row you're on, you're leading other people in worship around you. Right. You might be sitting in the middle, at the sides, at the back, or at the front. Doesn't matter where you are, okay? But right where you are, you're leading worship. Because yep. If you're standing there going, I don't like this song. What are you doing with everybody around? I don't, you know, and everybody else around, you know, it's a little bit, you know, it's not as flowy and easy today. Imagine if you came in, it's like, oh, I didn't realise I was a worship leader as well. And this is brilliant. Wow, thank you, Jesus. You're awesome. What's going to get released if everybody's leading worship all over the room? Have you ever thought of it like that before? No, you haven't. So some of you might have. But you're leading worship. You're not waiting to be led. You're coming in as a worshiper, and then you encourage everybody else around you to worship. And the person next to you is like, what's happened to you? You got your hands in the air. You seem to be into this thing. And then they find their hands are kind of going up because yours are up. Or by accident, as you put your hands up, you grab theirs and shove it up with yours. And then after the meeting, you say, I love the way you were worshiping this morning. You just couldn't get your hands down. They're like, yeah, because you had my hand in your hand. You wouldn't let it go. It's like, brilliant, I'm just helping you to be a disciple. Brilliant, thanks very much. There's any, you know, you can be a witness like me. That challenges you then in your witness. How do you share your faith? All those sort of things. All this has got to be expressed in the life of who we are, right? In relationship with one another, not just with God, but with one another. That's how our relationship with Him is expressed with one another. And at the heart of that in the church here, like in pretty much any church, is some kind of small group, some kind of setting where we're sharing life, doing life, opening our hearts and lives, moving forward together, a place where, you know, we have to, you know, the bigger you get, the smaller you've got to go as well in terms of that relational centre, so that new people can get connected into relationship with people, so they get drawn in and at a part, a place where people can be discipled. People where people can build relationships, but also where people can grow in their faith, grow in their witness, where we can grow leaders. You know, if any small group is the same in 6 months' time as it is now, then we're not being who God's called us to be. Small groups are not a club for people to be part of, where we say, oh, well, I'm in this one, it's nice, and I don't want anybody else to join it because we're all mates. Then our hearts are, and our lives are centered around ourselves and not that outward emphasis that God wants us to have in our lives. So I want to encourage everybody, get in. If you're not part of a small group, just get in one. Be part of it, because that's where we build family. That's where we build relationships. That's where we affect one another's lives. So not only your prayer matters in the prayer room, but your relationship, your life matters in relationship to other people in the body. This isn't a plug to fill small groups. This is about the life of who we are being expressed amongst us. That's where we take care of people. That's how we know what's happening in your life. That's how we know whether you're going through some difficulties or everything's flying like a whatever and going great. That's how we know what's happening in your life. If you're not in a small group, it's really hard to know how you're doing and where you are. Because people, we need to be connected relationally, sharing life, doing life, meeting each other's needs, encouraging each other, inspiring each other. Iron sharpens iron. It's a great place to bring new people into when we're living life like that. Great place to be, sharing life. That means you have to open your heart a bit. It might be a challenge for some more than others, but that's exactly why God wants to be in that context, because He wants to bring healing to some that need healing. He wants to bring freedom to some that need freedom. And a lot of that happens in the context of working it out in relationship, because God can bring life and freedom through one another into each other's lives. So the response today, do you know what the response is to today's message? We're going to pray like a one-sentence prayer. That's it. And you might think, oh, hang on a minute, I want to meet with God a bit more. Well, you can. The way you're going to meet with God as a response to this message is two things. One, if you haven't already, go on the website, www.kingdomfaith.com/247, and sign up for the prayer. Okay? That's for everyone. Second thing is get involved in a small group. Build relationships. Be a connector. Be part of the glue of what God is doing in the life of the church. So it's two things. Prayer, relationship. Prayer, relationship. Prayer, in terms of what God wants to do, relationship with one another. So if you're not in a small group, you might say, well, I don't know if there's a small group that I like. It's only up till Easter. It's only a few weeks. Just get involved in one that's already going on. Just plug in. Doesn't matter if you like it or not. I'm not really into that. Just go anyway. At the end of the day, it's people that you're going to find there. Just get connected. Just plug in. Go somewhere. Get in somewhere. Be a blessing. After Easter, we're relaunching all the small groups, and there'll be quite a change that's going to happen in terms of how we're going to move them forward. We'll explain a bit more of that nearer the time. But man, the heartbeat of the life of a church is in its relationships. The spiritual dynamic undergirds everything. Prayer, worship, word, all that stuff. But the heartbeat and the glue of a church is the relationships that go on. So, so important. And we want to just cultivate that more, what God does. So let's stand together. Next Saturday morning, there's a group of ladies that meet and pray every week for the church. And there's lots of prayer that goes on for different aspects of what's going on, different outreaches and ministries and different things like that. But there's one group of ladies that meet every week and they pray for us. It's not about what we're doing. They just pray for you and me. They pray for our lives. They pray, they hear from God. They're praying through the word. They're declaring and speaking things. They send me emails as to stuff that God's speaking to them, showing them. So it's not all just, you know, disconnected. But they're sharing. This is what I believe God's showing us and that. And sometimes I feed a bit into there for them to pray. They pray for the leadership, all that kind of stuff. Next Saturday, those guys are meeting in here from 9:30 to 12:30. And they've just said, if anybody wants to join with them for those 3 hours to come and pray next Saturday morning, then you're welcome. From 9:30 to 12:30 here on Saturday morning. Let's just pray, shall we? I don't know what's going on in your heart this morning. I didn't know how this message was going to come out this morning at all. I just had a load of little bullet points, things on my heart. I said, God, I don't know how it's going to come out. And he said, it's all right, I do. And I said, I just want to come across with the right heart and not bang a drum and all that sort of stuff. And he goes, that's all right, I'll bang the drum. I'll bang the drum in people's hearts. So it's a heart thing that takes place, not you just going on and on from the platform. I don't know, some of you might be here this morning going, wow, brilliant, brilliant, come on, yeah, yeah, yeah. And that might be what's happening in your heart. Some of you might be thinking, oh, what, it's pretty relentless. We've just had prayer and fasting and now he's going on about more prayer and more this and more that. And blah, blah, blah. When's he going to, you know... It's like, I don't, it's not me, it's the Holy Spirit. He's just saying, come on, church, come on, church, come on, church. And he's just releasing it, you know. So if there's anything like that in you, just say, God, would you do something in my heart right now? If there's any reticence in you, Father, I give you that reticence. I give you any kind of, not sure. Father, I just give you that right now. Holy Spirit, would you just come and continue to work and do something new in me? You might say, I'm no good at prayer. Just tell him that. Say, God, I'm rubbish at prayer. And he goes, I know, but I'm really good at it. So here's my Holy Spirit to enable you to pray. So just work with me, as in this is what God's saying to you. Work with me, cooperate with me. If I'm saying you're a praying people, then just engage and there'll be a grace there to pray. Just step into it and you'll find there's a grace there. But don't wait for the grace. Grace comes when you step in obedience to what I'm saying to you. There'll be a grace for it. God, I don't know if I want to be in a small group. He's like, well, I'm in all of them. I'm at all the small groups, whether I like them or not. I'm at all of them. Imagine that. Everything we do, God has to turn up to. He's there. Sometimes I'm there. He's like, oh, they're not doing that again. And they want me to be there. They're praying earnestly. God, would you be here? And he's like, I don't like sausage rolls. I don't like quiche. I don't know. But, you know, sometimes we're like, I don't want to be at that. And God's like, yeah, but I have to be at all. You know, just come and spend a bit of time with me and I'll show you what it's really like to be God, you know. But God loves to be with us. And if what's going on is God's in charge, no matter what the focus of that small, it'll be a good place to be. Where you'll be blessed and other people will be blessed. So I don't know, you might say, well, I don't want to be in a small group. Well, just put the I bit away for a bit and for the next 6 weeks, give it a crack and say, right, I'm going to connect into one, be part of one. It doesn't matter what it is, just go and find one if you're not in one and be part of something. Yes. And build into other people's lives beyond yourself for a few weeks and see what happens over the next few weeks. Father, I thank you and I praise your name for what you're doing in us. Thank you as we pray, there's a grace, there's breakthrough. Thank you for what you're going to do in February. Thank you for what you've been doing in our lives and going deeper. There's more and more and more of that, but you want us to go further. Greater release of your spirit amongst us. Thank you, Jesus, for the small groups, the relational center, contact, the glue of the life of the church. Thank you, Father, that you just work amongst us continually. We, even in those contexts, share what you're doing in us. Pray for one another. Reach out to people that don't know you yet. And all the things that are going on. Father, we praise your name. Would you bless all the ladies this morning as they're meeting at Centre Parks, those that are there. that they have an amazing time with you this morning. Father, we thank you and we praise you. We praise your name. Thank you, Jesus. We got one of these, a little leaflet for February. So it's got it's a little bit more idiot-proof than the last one because the days of the month line up with the chapters in the book this time. So the 1st of February is the chapter 1 of Acts, right, rather than how it was. So you got one of these. You can grab those if they're not in the chairs. You can get them in the hub and stick them in your Bible. Just got a few reminders about soap, how to do it, scripture, read the word, observation, what's God saying to you? And you might want to jot some stuff down, journal with God, application, what do you do as a result? What's going to happen as a result? What's different? What's the application? And then prayer, pray through that, surrender, submit, thank him that he gives you the power and the grace to live in whatever way he's speaking to you about. So you can grab those in the hub if you haven't got one already. And then the vision night, if you weren't able to be, you haven't listened to it yet, it's on the website. Again, kingdomfaith.com/watch-and-listen. On the watch and listen, it's there, you'll see it, the vision night. Have a listen to that. It's really important that we're all connected into that and what God wants to do through this year. Is that okay? Just turn to somebody next to you and just tell them, you are brilliant. And now, just say to them, your prayer matters and your life matters.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.